sharing their experience of God. The goal of this is not necessarily to give me a vacation for the summer, even though someone at summer camp said, that's a great idea, I should do that so I work less. The point really is to recognize and lift up the challenge we all face in putting our faith into words, and that sometimes hearing different people's stories might help us to find the ways in which we can speak in the first person about our own faith. And so we're blessed today to have Richard sharing his testimony. I'm grateful for that. And Marta is going to be reading scripture for us from Romans chapter 8. And before both of them come up, I want to invite us just to a moment of silence, as we've been doing each week. And in that silence, to be expressing our gratitude for Richard, but also just to be surrounding Richard with prayers of courage and grace, as it can be a really challenging thing to get up and talk about our faith, even with people we already know. So we'll pause for a moment to offer those prayers. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would open our hearts and our ears and our minds to your living word for us today. Amen. I invite you to listen for the word of God in scripture and also in testimony.
This is from Romans 8. Verses 18 to 39, and I'm reading from the NIV translation. It's on page 1096 in the Pew Bibles. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they have already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else that in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good scripture, Monty. I didn't choose it. My testimony about one of my first experiences with God, and I was too new in my faith to have a testimony to have a scripture to go along with it at that time. So anyway, I'm going to read this so I don't mess it up. I've experienced God in my life in so many ways, but what I'm going to share with you now is my first and most powerful experience that I've ever had, and it happened at a very tragic time in my life. I was in Providence, Rhode Island, attending a business meeting and a conference when I was pulled out of the meeting with an emergency phone call. It was from my brother-in-law informing me that my wife had been murdered and I needed to return home immediately. He had already made all the flight arrangements and I just needed to get to the airport as soon as possible as my flight was leaving very soon. This was before 9/11, so it could be a lot easier than it would have been today. A couple of people I'd met at the conference took me to the airport and offered to wait with me until the plane departed. By the time we had arrived at the airport, it was such a short time before departure that I declined their offer and told them I would be fine going back to the conference. It was February, and it ended up the flight was delayed for over 3 hours because of snow and storms. I was a very new Christian at the time, and my faith was just beginning to grow. I felt so alone and so sad, and I just didn't know what to do at that time. I wished I had allowed my friends to stay with me at that time to comfort me. My thoughts were going through my mind, was God really real? My new faith was beginning to crumble, and I remembered my pastor had been preaching on how God was a God of comfort, and he was always there for us in times of need. At that point, I just turned to God and began to pray. I was not used to praying very much at that time, so my prayer was very short. All I said was, God, if you are real, I really need you now. Please show me you are real. Almost immediately, I felt this wonderful embrace, just like someone was hugging me and lifting me up. It was the most wonderful feeling I've ever experienced in my life. This has been over 30 years since this happened to me. And even though I've never had such an immediate response from God since then, let me tell you that God has continued to work in my life, and he's still alive and he's real in this world today. Thank you very much.
I'm going to invite us to just sit for a moment and be grateful for Richard revealing so much of himself to us. It's a sacred moment. Richard shared that I had picked out the scripture, but I actually think it's Richard that picked out that scripture. Richard gave me a copy of what he was looking to say, and that was a scripture that came to my mind. It is one of the richest sections of the Bible, I believe, and it is complicated and yet simple. And in it, Paul basically says what Richard just said, that no matter what happens in life, and hard things will happen, that God is there, and that God cares, and that God loves, and that God has a plan for us. I don't know how many times I've heard people say God has a plan for you, or God did this to teach you a lesson, or God did this to help you grow. And I categorically reject all of those things. Hearing Richard's testimony, I don't believe that happened. The murder of his wife to teach him a lesson. And I don't think that's what Paul is saying. As Paul writes, he gets to the end of that section we read, and he actually lists everything that happened to Jesus. I think what he's trying to say is that if Jesus didn't escape all of this hardship, neither will you. And if God could raise Jesus from the dead, God will raise you up, literally and figuratively. Now, I have taken a lot of classes, gotten a lot of degrees. I did really well on all those papers, all the speeches that I had to do talking about theology and philosophy and trying to articulate what it means that God is with us. And yet it doesn't really matter if you can write a paper about it, does it? Because when you're in that moment, it's up to you. How will you find? How will you listen? How will you let the Holy Spirit embrace you and lift you up? How will we be blessed enough to have the Holy Spirit remove those things that blind us or burden us or deafen us to the promise of God's love? Paul writes this section in Romans 8 to answer something that he said in Romans 1, 16 to 17. And it's in that section that he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the good news. This is his way of saying what the good news is. I'm grateful for Richard for the way in which he articulated what the good news is for us today. And man, do we need good news, don't we? And the good news is not just bucker up, campers, it's going to get better. The good news, as I heard in Richard sharing, was really in that radicalness, radical smallness, actually, of the warmth felt of that embrace when Richard offered that prayer. So I invite you to be mindful this week of how close God is to you. How is it that you are looking for God to carry you, to hold you, to remind you that nothing, no height, nor depth, nor width, nor things to come, nor things that have come, nor things that are, that nothing can separate you, can separate us from the love of God. Amen. I'm grateful again for Richard, and so I want to invite you again just to, in silence, give, express your gratitude and thoughts and prayers to God and to Richard. I'm grateful Richard is a very faithful member of our church. I'm grateful for Richard for many things, but also if you drink coffee at church, most times Richard has made it because he got here early. That's part of his expression of God's faithfulness. So.